Thank you for listening to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now here's this week's message.
Turn with me to Matthew chapter 14, verses 25 through 33 this morning. If you haven't got a Bible, in the pew Bible, it's page number 1514. And you can find it there. I did not put it on the overhead today. I just want to get in the habit of reading out of God's Word. So we have Matthew chapter 14. We'll be starting at verse 25 through 43. Would you stand with me this morning as we read God's Word? It says, "Now in the fourth watch," which that's literally from about 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. in the morning, the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down and out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Heavenly Father, Lord, this morning we thank you and praise you this morning. Lord, we thank you for your presence here in this room that's been set aside to worship you and to honor you. And Lord, we pray this morning, God, in the preaching of the word, Lord, that your anointing will come. Lord, that your anointing that breaks the yoke, God, we pray today. That you'd open our hearts for it, God, that you'd help us to receive it and be ministered to with your word today, God, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for being here on this windy, cold morning. Pat texts me a message and he says that he wasn't for sure if they could make it because of the snow drifts in his front driveway. And I've had to really look hard to see those snow drifts. But I thank him for the humor in the morning. Amen? You know, have you ever had one of those moments where the Lord answers your worrisome thoughts? That moment in your life that you've had these things going around and around in your head, and all of a sudden the Lord answers you in that moment. That moment may be in prayer that you're not sure what to do, or maybe when you're concerned about a situation that you have tried everything you know to fix and it's still broken. Things that are going around, those moments, those worrisome moments in our lives. Problems that seem bigger than life, and etc. You know, I had one of those moments this last Wednesday night during our come-and-go communion service. I had taken communion with my wife, Robin, at the altar, and later was sitting on the front row where I normally sit, just sitting there praying while people would come and go in communion and pray over those that would want us to pray with them. And my thoughts were about some difficulties. And my prayers were about the solution. And it was during this time, last Wednesday, that the Lord injected a thought to me, or an answer to me, actually. And you may say, "How do I know it was the Lord?" I can tell you because I am familiar with God moments in my life. I'm familiar when God just speaks. There's been moments throughout my life that God has took a moment and spoke into my spirit. He spoke to me even when I wasn't saved a couple of times. He spoke to me when I was out of a young age, sitting on the right-hand side of the sanctuary in the pew, watching a man preach in red nylon breeches or pants named Carl Taylor, and he spoke, "You will, Pastor." I'm just saying I know those moments. Not to boast or anything, but just say I know the shepherd's voice. And I had one of those moments Wednesday night, just as I've had them on occasion. What was said? The gist of it, get your eyes off the problems and fix them on me, and I will take care of the problems. And also since that Wednesday night, I've had two more confirmations of what Christ has been speaking into my heart that night. See, I am a man that believes confirmation is necessary. I believe if God's going to say it once, He'll say it twice. And if it's twice, He'll say three. Let everything be confirmed with the witness of two or three. And I believe in that. I don't just jump off into something without confirmation from God. This story we read this morning of Peter and Jesus immediately came to my thoughts upon when the Lord spoke to me. It's interesting, though, that it was this same story that the Lord used to get Robin and I here at St. Jacinto, almost 17 years ago. And at that time, that story was confirmed three times also at that moment as God would speak, for I wasn't certain what I should do. Now it's in my thoughts again, but now only, not only my thoughts, but it was what the Lord has spoken again through this same passage of Scripture. I thought when I was thought about preaching it, I thought, is it just for me or should I share it with y'all? You know, those moments. I didn't want to be a Joseph and get myself in trouble. To share the dreams and then my brothers throw me in a pit. So don't y'all throw me in a pit this morning. But I thought about it and then I thought of this. This passage of Scripture, surely I've preached it. I looked in my Bible. I don't have it marked. It's not on my computer. I am surprised I have not preached this. I called a couple of people that normally write down what I preach every Sunday. And they said, no, sir, you haven't preached this particular passage. Surprised me. I know I've related or used it in illustrations. As you can see this morning, I'm sharing it with you. Because literally it will take all of us working together with the same mindset. Come on, God didn't call me to build this church. He called all of us. It's not my responsibility to fill it. It's all of our responsibility. Every one of us sitting here this morning and you that are watching online. Let's start with a thought. As we look in this passage, get your eyes off the problems and fix them on me, and I will take care of the problems. Peter got out of the boat at the Lord's command in this passage of Scripture. Matthew 14, 28, 29, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the same water, on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Listen, Jesus called Peter into an environment of total dependency. Jesus called Peter into an environment of total dependency. There was no way Peter was going to be able to do what God had called him into. There was no way that he was going to be able to walk in the water, walk through the storms. This was an environment of total dependency upon God. That to walk on the water and also to walk through the terrible storms. The only way Peter could do this was by faith in Jesus' abilities, in Jesus' power, in Jesus' authority, in Jesus' command. The only way Peter could walk through and walk on this and come into that environment took the absolute supernatural hand of Jesus to keep him where he's at and what he was calling him into. Peter could not have done this on his own. He was totally dependent on Christ to survive from the very moment he got out of the boat and started to walk toward Christ. There was no rocks under the water to make it look like. There was no Hollywood scene that made it look like. He was totally dependent upon Jesus to walk in the environment that Christ had called him into. No other way. Can I tell you this morning, it's no different for Christians, churches, and even ministers today. That when Christ calls, we have been called into an environment that requires total dependency upon Jesus Christ. That's what we're called into. It requires us to be totally dependent upon Him. In order for us to be the light in this world, we must continue to abide in the light. We cannot be the light without the light. We are not the light. He's the light. And we must continually abide in the light to be the light for this world that we live in. Aside from Jesus being over here, I cannot be the light to the world because He is the light of the world flowing through me. We must abide in Him. And we must depend on the light in order to be that light. In order to operate and to walk in the environment God has called us into, we must depend upon the light. We cannot do it on our own. Philippians 1:6 says this, being confident that the very thing that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Listen, we begin in Him and we must end in Him. Our beginning is no different than stepping out of the boat and walking on the water that He called us to. Our beginning started in Him. It must continue with Him. We must continue to walk with Him no matter the situations that are in this world that we live in. We are dependent upon Christ Jesus. This is what Peter was called into. An atmosphere, an environment of dependency on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are His work. We belong to Him. Our very lives depend on Him. The breath that we have, the spiritual life, the new beginning, all is up on Jesus Christ. Not a denomination, not a country, but upon Jesus is where our dependency is. The church began with Him. The church wasn't man's ideal. It wasn't a secular organization. It was a God-given organism that is alive in the church beginning Him. And the church never ceases to be in need of Him and to be dependent on Him. It is Christ that the church needs. Once again, that dependency upon Jesus Christ once again. The church must depend on Him in the environment we are in today. If we are going to continue to walk spiritually, if we're going to continue to walk in the supernatural environment that God has called us into, the church must depend on Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, the one that has said, "You will be my bride. You are my body." We must depend upon Jesus. So we find Peter at that first phase in this particular moment that he got out of the boat at the Lord's command into that supernatural environment. And it was that environment of dependency. The next thing brings me to my next point, because I think we need to remember who we're dependent on. The next point is Peter could not continue to walk supernaturally with his own abilities. He couldn't continue to walk supernaturally with his own abilities. Verses 29 and 30 says, he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to Jesus. Now, I think about Peter just for a moment. Peter was an interesting character. You know, he was a handful, to say the least. He was one of those that Christ always had to reel back in a little bit. You know, he had an unchanneled zeal. And he also would often react before thinking. He would cut a servant's ear off, a soldier's ear off, before he thought about what it may bring in return. Peter had an attitude, and sometimes if you really think about Peter for a moment, sometimes he could have been maybe a showboat a little bit. And maybe he was the type of guy that would say, hey, don't worry about it, no problem, I got this. And when we say we got this, we say something like that, we say we have the ability to do this thing. That there's no problem. I got this thing handled. I'll say that sometimes and find out that I don't got this. Anybody like that? I'm thinking I should have asked for some help. But I can just see Peter as he gets out on that water just for a little bit. And he makes one step and he goes, ooh. He makes another one. Wow. And then about the third step, he's looking back over to the guys at the boat because Peter said, I'm out here, you ain't. I know I'm taking a little liberty this morning, but let me tell you something. Sometimes that's exactly in Peter's attitude and his personality. I could see him thinking himself, he's got this thing. He's got it going on. He doesn't really need much help. He's got this. I mean, you know, sometimes God gets us going and then we forget that he got us going. Come on, he opened the door, and then we forget that he opened the door for you. It's like that person that you help climb the ladder, and when they get to the top, they have no idea who you are. And sometimes that's the way life is. You know, many times when we get to serving God, and God has brought us into this supernatural environment, and things start happening, and things start going good for you, our talents literally can become a hindrance of the moving of God in our lives and the church. When we get stuck on ourselves and say, hey, God, we got this. Hey, God, I got the talent to preach. I've got the talent to sing. I've got the talent to go out and tell someone about Jesus. And if we're not careful, we have entered into a supernatural environment, and now we're trying to do things in a supernatural way, but we're no longer walking supernaturally. We're walking on talents, and the talents have become our dependency instead of Jesus being our dependency in our lives. And we start to look and walk in such ways. In other words, we can do this on our own. We can do this on our own. How many of you know it's easy to do church on your own? If you've got talent, you can do church on your own. We can do church 101. We can put the world's business plan to growing a congregation and do church 101 and literally do not need to be dependent on the Lord to fill a house. I'll take you back to point one. He brings us into an environment of dependency. And sometimes our talent walks us out of that environment to where now we're no longer dependent upon Christ. We are doing this thing on our own. Many ministers have been down that road. Many churches have gone down that road to where literally, Jesus, you get to the side, we've got this. See, Peter didn't understand that what starts out supernaturally must continue the same way. That anointing, that calling, that mission that God has put us on came in a supernatural way, and the way for it to be fulfilled from heaven and the way for it to be fulfilled on earth must be dependent upon the supernatural Almighty God to see things happen. We never can be undependent on the Lord. We must continue to be dependent upon Him. Because here's what happens if we get dependent on ourselves, dependent on ourselves instead of God. The problems become bigger than their abilities. Now, if Peter started walking on his own, he found out quick that the problems became bigger than his ability to handle them. Became bigger. He says, but when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out saying, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Did you know the same storms and the same winds were there when he got out of the boat? It wasn't like there's a change in the weather when he started walking. It wasn't calm when he got out on the water. It wasn't like they stirred up while he started. They were there when he got out of the boat. Something happened in between when he got out and started walking, and then he got his eyes off the Lord. Can I tell you this morning, this world always presented challenges even before we got saved. And the problems to the Christian in the church, we've always had problems for the Christian in the church. Read the history of the church. It isn't like, okay, I got saved, now all the Christians have problems. We've had problems ever since the Lord died upon the cross and was resurrected. There's been problems ever since then. But somewhere in Peter's life, the problems became his focus and they brought fear along with them. And I say that because he got out of the boat. The storm wasn't the problem. All he says, Lord, if it be your will, bid me, I'll come. And the Lord said, come. His focus wasn't on all that stuff, but somewhere along the walk, his focus turned from Christ to the problems. How many of you have had a problem in your life that's turned your focus this morning? Something going on right now that's caused you to focus on it. It's easy to do. Don't look bad or down on yourself. Don't think any less of yourself because we've all been there. We all go through those moments in our life that we have to have an alignment, a realignment in where we're looking and realize that we took our eyes off the Lord. See, it's so easy for us to become consumed with their problems as individuals and even the church and let fear grip us. It's an easy thing to do. To get focused on the problem and let that be our total thought. You know, life gives problems. I wish that everything went great. But I'm going to tell you, there's problems that come to every Christian. There's problems that come to every church. Nobody's exempt from that. But the thing is, what happens many times, and the enemy wants us to focus on the problem and not on the solution. And get our minds off. Peter started out supernaturally walking, and all of a sudden the problems, he focused on the problem, and now he is no longer walking supernaturally. How do you say that, Pastor? Because the Bible says he starts to sink. It's easy, my friend, to get on problems. I want to tell you this morning, I debated about doing this, but listen. It's easy for a church to focus on this empty chair. It's easy for us to put our focus here. We get here in the morning, and I know this morning's a winter day, so we have a few more of these that are empty. But it's easy for us to focus right here, and out of this we hear the voice say this, our church is no longer growing. Our church is no longer full. Our church, we got to do something. If this continues to go on, then we'll find ourselves closing the door. By the way, I read an article that says in 2025, there's 15 more thousand churches that will close. And there's another 15,000 more pastors that will be working bivocational. And they said, not even bivocational, because that's not enough to support the pastor. I'm saying today, there's a lot of things to focus on the problem and to bring fear. And it's easy to do that. And that's where Peter got to focusing on. This is not, St. Jacinta isn't the only issue with empty chairs this morning. I'm so thankful we switched from chairs to pews, because I couldn't have brought a pew up here. But you'll get that here in a minute. But I'm saying today that we can focus on things, and the enemy wants you to look at what's not here versus what is here. And we can mull that over, and we can think, oh, we need to do something. I get it. And literally it says when he started to focus on the problem, the boisterous winds, the storm that was around him, when he started to focus on the problem, the Bible says he quit walking. Listen, I'm adding a little bit to it, not to the word, but this is Snyder's version of it. The Bible says that he started to sink. In other words, he quit walking in the supernatural, and he started walking by his own strength and own merit, because he started to go under the water. Friends, that happens to all of us many times. I can see Peter, because Peter's full of zeal, right? I see. The word says he began to sink. It didn't mean that he sunk immediately, but he began to sink. I can see Peter. As he started to sink, he started to walk a little faster. Come on, isn't that what you would do? I remember a long time ago in Lake Meredith when I was a young man, and I do not like snakes. And I was sitting there, and there was a twig or something floating out on the water, and I was leaning over, and everybody's hollering snake, and somebody pushed me in. That's the kind of friends I used to have. I literally went down underwater, came back up dry in the boat. I'm just saying, when Peter started to sink, I'm sure he tried to start doing things on his own to cure the problem that he was going through. It's a natural thing for all of us to pull out everything that we have in order to fix the problem, in order to get things to where they would go right. See, this is our tendency to solve problems. It's to scramble about with a man-made solution in a supernatural environment. I literally cannot tell you how many books I've read in the past few years on revival, church growth, and etc. I can't tell you how many. I'm constantly getting another. Many times when I'm on vacation, I'm reading a book. Why? To try to fix something. Peter slowly began to sink as he was consumed with problem solving. Not realizing all this time it was Christ that was keeping him walking supernaturally. It was Christ that started him, and it was Christ that could keep him walking supernaturally. He turned his eyes upon Christ and called out. He finally had an epiphany of realizing, I need to look at Christ. I need to look toward Jesus. Church, it's time that we realize as Christians and as a church that it has never been the means of this world that keeps us walking through each day. It's never been the means of this world that has kept us walking every day. What we survive on is not of this world, but the manna that we survive on is from heaven above. Jesus himself said, I am the bread of life. Hallelujah. Our walk started with Christ. It's time to realize we must turn back to Jesus and get our eyes focused on him once again. because it's there that we find the supernatural power to walk through the problem. Upon Peter's cry, Christ reached out his hand and caught him. And he got on to him. It's interesting where the Lord will give you a lesson. You would think he'd wait till he got him back to the boat and set him down and says, Now, Peter, let's talk about this just for a moment, about what happened out there. Wouldn't it be great if that's the way the Lord was? But no, as soon as he reaches down by the hand, grabs him, and it says he caught him, the Lord gives him a lesson real quick. And he gets on to him, he says, "Oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" Can I tell you, listen, when we depend on ourselves, listen to me this morning, when we depend on ourselves more than God, we demonstrate a lack of faith. When we depend on ourselves more than God, we demonstrate a lack of faith in our lives. What happens next? Peter walks through the storm supernaturally, hand in hand with Christ. Hand in hand with Christ. Listen, he couldn't have got out of the storm. He couldn't have started without Christ. And now he's back where he needs to be, and Christ has got him hand in hand, and he's walking out of the storm. Matthew 14:32, and when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And when it means that they got in the boat, they had to walk to the boat. They had to continue through. And Christ walked with him. They walked through the storm. Peter could not do this on his own. There's sometimes in life that we must realize we cannot do it on our own. But he put his hand, Peter realized that, and he put his hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. I could sing that song. But Peter found that man, and together they walked through the storm. It's time, church, we quit walking alone. Let me say it again. It's time we quit walking alone. It's time that we understand that we need to look and once again unto the author and the finisher of our faith. It's time again that we make this place, San Jacinto Assembly of God, about Jesus Christ. It's time that when we come in, we get out of the car, and we walk into the sanctuary, and it's time that we understand that it's not about an empty chair, or it's not about a chair that's filled. It's about people coming together to worship our King, our Lord, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. It's time that we focus on Him once again in our lives, not only in church, but in our everyday life. We need to focus upon Christ once again in our life. See, this walk was never, understand me, Pastor, if you'll come here in just a minute, or come on up. This walk, listen, the walk that you are on individually as a Christian and the walk this church is on was never a solo walk. Never meant to be. It was a walk that was supposed to have being in hand in hand with the Lord. A walk with me. One that we walk along with Jesus. It was never meant to be something that we try to do on our own. We are not deists in our faith. Believing God, but He has no involvement with creation, nor are we agnostic in our view of God, believing there is no proof of God. We are neither one of those groups of people in their thoughts. We are God's church. We are God's people. We are a God that believes in that there is a, we are a church, are a people that believe that there is a living God. We believe that God beings with us. We believe that God has a relationship with us. We believe that what we do here on Sunday morning is God ordained. We believe the Bible when it says where two or three come together, there I am in the midst of them walking. We are a church. We are a people that believe there's a Father, there's a Son, and there's a Holy Spirit, the triune Godhead. We believe that one day, way back in the past, God Almighty spoke the word into darkness, and there forth came creation, and the sun, and the moon, and the water, and the man, and the animals. We believe God is real. Come on, we believe in a God that knows our problems. We have a high priest that can relate with everything that we go through. The Bible says he knows our infirmities. I'm saying today we believe in Jesus. We believe in a God that's alive and well today. Why do we want not to be dependent upon the one that has called us out of darkness into lightness, hallelujah, the God that has breathed life into us. That is the God that we depend on. That God. Why do we want to walk alone? Why do we want to depend on our talents? Why do we want to depend on a band that's not saved? Not our band. Why do we want to do such things? Why? To fill chairs? No. Why are we not dependent on God once again? My friend, mark my words. Unless the church in America gets back to dependencies upon Christ, the church in America is going to dissolve. Why? Because we have forgotten who called us out of the boat. We have forgotten who said, come unto me. Are we without hope? No. Are we without promises? No. Are we without future? No. As long as we are depending upon Christ. I'm just saying, sitting right there at that seat, praying unto God and thinking, God, how are we going to fix it? How are these going to happen? And the Lord spoke to me just as clear as you're hearing me right now. Get your eyes back on me. I'll take care of the problems. Church, I believe that this morning. See, Jesus, the Bible says when him and Peter got in the boat, the wind ceased. What was that? That's Peter's problem. He walked him through and the problem disappeared. Get your eyes off the problems and fix them on me, and I will take care of the problems. We are starting our 21 days of fasting, and if you're not familiar with that, there's, like Pastor Oliver said in the announcements, there's some sheets that can help you understand how you get 21 days of fasting. It's partial fast, or just read the sheet and you can figure that out. And but you know, I just don't want us to be fasting and praying. What are we praying for? Now, I think there ought to be a purpose in a fast. Amen. Esther, I may be getting in tonight's service. Better way, tonight I'm talking about overcoming obstacles in our lives. So I want to invite you to be here tonight 6, because we're having victory. Amen? We're changing it up. We were doing victory night. I'm just going to preach on Sunday night. And for those that will come, I'm going to preach. And I'm believing God to do some great things. See, I want us to pray and fast these next 21 days. And I want it that we will realign our focus as a church. Realign our focus, not on man, not on programs, not on this. Because see, I feel God's telling me this, that we need to realign on Jesus. That we have Jesus called altars. Somebody ready to see the Holy Ghost move. Thank you. Amen. See people touched. Supernatural things happening. Let's not forget Peter walked into a supernatural environment because he had his eyes and was called from God. As we fast this month, 21 days, I didn't realize you start tomorrow. Robin and I started today. Got a list of what we're fasting in these 21 days. It's not a list of things I don't like to do anyhow. It's things that really are going to work on me this month. But this preacher, I'm going to tell you right now, has made his mind up. It's about Christ. It's not that we quit trying to do things and different things. It's first get our eyes realigned on Christ and let Him guide us into the other things. I'm not just going to say, hey, all we got to do is align on Christ. But He's going to guide and help us through these things, and He will speak to the problems. But I want to encourage you that are watching online this morning, this is what it's going to be about, that we realign and we start praying that we want Jesus to move when we come together. And we want Jesus to move throughout the week. We want this to be about our King. The Bible says He's the head and we are the body. Why should we operate separate from Him? I believe that we need Him moving among us. And I do believe that it won't happen unless we make the effort to change our focus and realign toward Christ. My friend, I'm excited. Come on. I'm excited of what Christ can do. It's time that this atmosphere pops with the presence of Jesus. I'm tired of dried up worship. I'm tired of dried up meetings. I'm ready to see Jesus move, hallelujah, in the midst of us and see God do a wonderful thing. And the only way that can happen is we realign upon Christ Jesus.
That's right.
Refocus.
Thank you, Lord.
That's it. Every head bowed just for a moment. If you're here this morning, you're going through a very difficult time right now, I encourage you to just take your eyes off the problems and start just crying out to the Lord, because I know that He will help you. And if that's you this morning, would you just raise your hand? Amen. Anybody else this morning would say that? Amen. Amen. I want to pray for you right now. Lord, right now, Father, You've seen the hands of every person that has raised their hand, God, today. Lord, they're choosing this morning to take their eyes off the problems, Lord, and to realign their focus upon You. Lord, we know that when Peter did that, when You grabbed him, the storm was still there, but we know that You walked with him through it, that You walked with him. And Lord, this morning, I pray that You'd walk with each one of these individuals as they go through this difficult time. And then they will look back as they step into the boat with You, Lord, and the problems are gone. I pray for Your hand upon them now, God, as they trust You and realign towards You in the name of Jesus this morning.